You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
That's the most cottagecore thing you've said.
I think you're right.
Your compost a garden pipeline.
Yep.
Yeah.
I saved that gem for near the end.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast exploring the most whimsical corners of queer culture. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with singer/songwriter Lady Lamb about cottagecore.
Finally. I feel like cottagecore has been in the air for a little while, and now we get to dive into it.
Yeah, and if we don't dive deep enough, I apologize. I mean, I was very aware throughout the conversation. I was like, oh, we sound so old. Do we know what we're talking about right now?
I hope we did. You let us know. You let us know in the comments on Instagram.
I feel like people are going to be like, you need a part two on that, because...
Did we do cottagecore justice? You're just going to have to listen to this episode and find out.
This was like more like the realities of cottagecore. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we didn't talk about the romance. Like, it was like, oh no, it's a lot of raking.
No, yeah. It's like we've had our coffee and we're ready to tell you how it is.
Right.
If you're listening to this, that means our Stonewall show has already happened, but as we're recording this, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to go ahead and say it was a magnificent return to Stonewall, and we'll tell you more about it next week, so stay tuned for that. But we do have a couple of live events coming up. Our live recording with Jenna Lyons is going to be December 7th. Go to our Instagram page to get the tickets for that. It's a free RSVP happening in Soho, I believe at 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, December 7th. Please be there. We would love to see you. Jenna would love to see you. We're excited to see Jenna. We're excited to see what everyone's wearing. Dress to impress, everybody. No pressure.
I know. Or don't. Or just, yeah.
Or be yourself.
This is more to me.
Yeah.
Stop overthinking it.
And then also, not an official Dyking Out event, but Dyking Out adjacent, is that my friend Naomi and I are putting on a live reading of a L Word holiday special that we're writing. It's going to be a lot of past guests of the pod who are reading the parts, and a co-host of the pod who's going to be reading a very important part.
Oh.
And that's going to be at our home base at Stonewall, December 14th. I think that's also at 7:30. All this information is going to be on our Instagram. You can buy tickets for that as well. Those should be up and available soon. Oh, there's so much to do with live shows.
Yeah. So just follow us and maybe turn on post notifications. I don't know.
Yes.
Go crazy.
Please do. That's the best way to do it. It'll probably sell out. Everything we do at Stonewall sells out. That's how we like to do it. Make it nice and exclusive.
I all made right. It
nice. Yes.
Carolyn.
For the holidays, you're still in a Berserkshire's state of mind, even though you didn't go there. That's
I
what
know.
You did for
I watched
the holidays.
So many Berserkshire's episodes of The Real Housewives of New York. If you know, you know. It's just one of
yes.
their more festive holiday episodes at Dorinda Medley's home in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, where every time they go, it's like a haunted house. Chaos ensues. It's delightful. And yeah, that's where the quote, "I made it nice," came from. Did you make it nice? Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving?
What's the gayest thing you did Thanksgiving week?
I made it nice. The gayest thing I did Thanksgiving week. So I was sick leading up to the holiday, and I was really bummed because the gayest thing I was going to do was the day we were supposed to drive to Buffalo for the holidays, I was going to see this burlesque troupe called the Stripteasers, which I saw them when they first started in Buffalo when I used to sneak into the lesbian bar. And my favorite bartender, shout out to Jamie, who, again, knowing since like very soon after I came out, she's the sweetest person, head of the Stripteasers. She was going to be performing in Buffalo that night. I was going to take Cecilia. I was so excited. I was too sick to go. So on top of a sinus infection, I had an ear infection. I was in urgent care, whatever. I didn't make it. But we eventually got to Buffalo. And on a different night of the week, on Tuesdays, there's a bar called Nietzsche's, and the Stripteasers perform there every Tuesday. Jamie wasn't there, and we went to go see them, and they dance like right up on the bar. And it's a very different kind of burlesque than the stuff that I've been seeing in New York. This is a lot more like camp, a lot more body positive, just like really fun. I don't know.
More queer.
It's so queer. It's a lot of fun. And they had two little shows that they did throughout the night. But before and after they performed, there was a 3-piece band. And I didn't know that they were going to be there. And it's this guy, Joe Donahue. And I've never seen him perform. He's a gay guy. He's on the piano. He's very, very good, very spirited, you know, like kind of standing up, straddling over the stool, getting really into it, looking back at the audience while he plays. Half the songs, Madonna covers. I was having the time of my life. I didn't expect it. I'm like, oh my God, Buffalo. You know, I can get a great Maker's Mark hot toddy. Our sponsor, Maker's Mark, ordering them out when I go.
Wink,
got
wink.
A Maker's hot toddy. Yep, for $8.
Wow.
I know. I was like, oh my God, I love Buffalo. Yeah, sipping my hot toddy, listening to Madonna covers, and then getting some burlesque. So that was like super, super gay, gayer than I expected it to be. But I will say the other gay thing was on Thanksgiving Day, I was with my aunt, my mom, and we were thinking about it. And we're like, oh my gosh, half the people at Thanksgiving tonight are gay. Wow. Between me, Cecilia, my mom's boyfriend's daughter, two of my cousins, and then one other person we suspect of being gay, I think.
Suspect.
Who maybe doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a lot of gays
that's
to have
a lot of gay energy.
Yeah. And we love it. So that made it a little bit gay. How about you? What's the gayest thing that you did this week?
What if I told you my Thanksgiving was 100% queer? And that's
okay.
Because I spent it alone. Okay. It was just me, guys. I had a solo Thanksgiving for the first time ever. I was originally going to spend it with Allie. We were going to have a low-key Thanksgiving this year, but she had a death in the family. She had to go home last minute.
Cannot catch a break.
She cannot catch a break. She's just, it's not even this year, 3 years.
Witches who are listening, please cast protection spells around Allie. I can't.
Protect her at all costs. Like, what is happening?
Yes.
She just has been having such a string of bad luck over the last few years. But, you know, she will prevail. I was by myself. I had to take on a dog sitting job. I inherited a dog sitting gig that she had agreed to. So I've been bouncing between my apartment and our friend Nancy's dog sitting this geriatric, very cute little dog with a tongue sticking out. And so it like needs a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So even if I wanted to go to a Friendsgiving, I couldn't. Like, I'm just like, I have to take care of this dog. A lot of people, when they found out I would be spending it alone, obviously felt bad and tried to get me to come to different Friendsgivings or comediansgivings. Like, I want to stress that I did have options. I just, and I felt that pressure all day. Like, I was like really on the fence about going. And I realized the only reason I wanted to go was because other people would judge me for spending the day alone. And that's not a reason to do something. Like, I'm perfectly content spending time with myself. And I felt like that was pretty gay of me to be like, no, I'm actually having fun watching my Berserkshires episodes, cooking at this apartment, going on these lovely walks in Park Slope in a very nice area I'm dog sitting in. And yeah, just spending alone time and enjoying myself feels pretty queer. And you know, you brought up camp. I did see House of Gucci on Thanksgiving yesterday too. Allie and I were planning on seeing
that's
it together.
Very gay. Yeah. How was it?
I snagged a last minute ticket, the one left in the theater, obviously a sold out show. And when I tell you, most of the people were gay. Like, it was just like, you could tell I had just walked into a very queer space.
Yes.
And I was actually seated next to a lesbian couple, which we love, except one of them snapped the entire time they liked something, which, come on, no. Just so annoying. And then I realized that's on me. I went to the movies on Thanksgiving. Obviously, everyone's drunk. Like, everyone came from this jolly meal, you know, where they're probably imbibing. So, like, people were a little rowdy, but I'm not saying it was a good movie, but I'm saying I enjoyed it. Like, it was it was outrageous. I honestly, I don't know what to make of it. I'm still processing it. It felt like all of the actors were in a different movie in their minds, like, and the ones that leaned into the camp of it all really were like a delight to watch. Like Jared Leto, so
this
funny
sounds like
in
the,
it.
Like the new Showgirls, the way you're describing it.
Truly. And it was, I mean, it was too long. The script was a little like redundant, meandering. Yeah. It was like a couple movies in one. It was like, it felt like it was a season of a Ryan Murphy show crammed into one like narrative film.
Wow.
But I mean, the gayest thing of the week aspect of it was just like at how like the whole audience would like erupt in laughter together at things that weren't intended to be funny. Just like the campiness of like the horrible accents sometimes. Just Lady Gaga was really like entertaining to watch. I know there's a lot of linguists that have weighed in and the accent is giving Slavic, and but I don't know, like she,
so you're not seeing any Oscar buzz?
I don't think so. I mean, if anyone, all the Oscars to the costume department, holy shit, amazing. But yeah, it was, so the gayest thing of that little excursion was walking out of the theater and listening to two gay guys debate over whether or not the movie was technically camp. And they were making some compelling arguments, each of them. Okay. And I had to turn a corner to walk back to the apartment I was dog sitting at, but I was so absorbed in their conversation that I followed them to the train so I could hear more of these great points. And then one of them had referenced a article on W Magazine that I like jotted down on my notes app and went home and read. And I was like, ah, thank you, homosexuals. Like, wow, learned so much.
Thank you, homosexuals.
Following gays around out of the theater for House of Gucci. It was, the W Magazine article was called House of Gucci : Camp or Not Camp. And yeah, I've just been thinking about camp a lot. Longest answer to gayest thing of the week, but
no, I want to see it now.
There we have it. The Father, Son, and the House of Gucci. It was ridiculous. I mean, it was fun.
I'm going to see it.
I mean, the girl next to me on the other side, not the snapping lesbian, but a very vocal audience member, just repeating lines back, nudging me. Normally I would hate this, but in this kind of a movie, felt like we were all in it together.
Love it. Love it. Kind of, you know, gayest thing adjacent. We should mention it because we want everybody to be ready for next week. But on Thanksgiving on HBO Max, a new show came out streaming, a very gay show that we had a binge watch for an interview. So next week we interview the lead lesbian contestant on the 12 Dates of Christmas. So if you want to, you know, have some idea of what we're talking about
and homework.
What's up. Yeah, do a little bit of homework. It might make the episode more fun. 12 Dates of Christmas. It's the second season of it. We hadn't watched the first season, but the second season is super gay.
And that's why we tuned in.
Yeah, on HBO Max. So that's a little homework for some of you, but we have so much to cover today with our guests. And we're so excited about that we tried to record with them multiple times.
Oh, just yeah.
So much FaceTime with them, and we couldn't be happier. Today, we are diking out with musician Allie Spaltrow, better known by her stage name, Lady Lamb. Originally from Brunswick, Maine, and now based in Brooklyn, she's been putting out incredible music since 2007, I believe. Her most recent album, Even in the Tremor, came out in 2019, but she's making new stuff. We are big fans. You should be too. Let's get into it. Allie, take two. We are doing this. Thank you for diking out with us, sort of again.
Yeah.
I guess on the record now.
Absolutely. I mean, any chance I get to dike out, let's do it, you know, multiple
yes.
times.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm just sitting here in my apartment with my cat.
Yeah, I got a peek. My cat's meowing outside. So jealous of your cat who gets to hang for recordings.
Did you just say your cat is meowing?
Yeah, scratching at the door. You know,
being a cat,
you know.
Oh yeah,
part of the queer struggle. Cats hate closed doors. I don't know about your cat, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Before we get into anything, we already saw you earlier this week. I'm dying to know how the last couple days have been for you. What is the gayest thing you did this week?
Well, the gayest thing that I've done since I saw you Wednesday is that I did binge Tampa Bay's.
Okay. Yay, we talked you into it. Wow.
Well, here's the thing. You didn't even talk me into it. I feel insane because I very much should have known the show existed and did not. Like, I don't know how. I feel like a bad gay. Like, I didn't hear about it until you told me. And yeah. my little gay heart started like palpitating, like there's a new show for me. And I did stay up till 3:30 in the morning finishing it.
Oh, you binged it, binged it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I binged it. And I loved it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. What, all your thoughts, hot takes, who are your faves? Who are you, you know, suspicious of?
Okay, this is going to immediately put me in the corner of just being very earnest, but like,
okay.
I liked everyone. Like, I was just like, my take was like, everyone's a, like deep down a good person and they're all doing their best and they're just like, you know, maybe this drama is very unfounded and I wish they could all be friends, but they're good people. You know,
that's what like, I said. They're all doing their best.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I feel like we're all kindred spirits here because yes, exactly the same. I'm like, you know, it sounds like some of them have some traumas to work through and I hope they all get through it. And I'm just rooting for everybody.
That's how I felt. And you know, I thought that the relationships were so tender. Like I thought each couple, they did a really good job of showing how intimate the intimacy of each couple and like their, you know, kind of dynamic together. And I thought each dynamic was actually really sweet on its own.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of love there.
Yeah. So, I mean, lots of more fake eyelashes than I was expecting, although
yeah,
I
right.
guess it is Florida. But I genuinely was just like, you know, like tickled by everyone and loved it.
You know, the craziest thing for me, I think, was like how different they looked in the confessionals versus in real life, but especially Mac. And because I met Mac in Orlando, and then when I was watching the show, I'm like, where is she? Because her name's also Sarah, right. And they do that with two characters on the, or two cast members, that they have multiple names. So that's a little bit confusing when you have that many people, and then some of them have yeah. multiple names. But then Mac, like, in real life looks nothing like in the confessional, and I'm just wondering, like, does she lean into her femme side sometimes, or was like production, like was the makeup crew just doing their own thing?
Right.
And, you know, putting those eyelashes and lip gloss on everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Mac. I loved when they had the mom's night out.
Yes.
And Mac went sweet. Over to the moms to apologize. I'm so yes. sorry you had to see this. It was so, I was like,
yes.
Adorable. Adorable. I didn't have any crushes on any of them, and like none of them are like my friends. And I don't mean that in a weird way. I think it's culture. Like I'm a Brooklyn dyke. Like these are Tampa dykes. We're a little different, but I think that we could definitely hang if we saw each other out.
Yeah. And don't worry, I'm already pitching Brooklyn Bays.
Yes.
It's going to be, there's a lot we can do with it. We can even like go on the vacation like they do on reality shows, like on Housewives, where they take a trip every season. Oh, we all go to Fire Island, Cherry Grove or something.
I knew you were going to say Cherry Grove.
There's no reason why we can't have multiple city bays. I mean, mm-hmm. the Housewives get it. We, you know. Yeah.
Let's franchise this.
Yeah, no, for real.
I mean, it would be so different. Like, I did get that sense. So when I was in Orlando and like at these parties and meeting the Bays and like made friends with a friend of theirs, and she was like, oh, I'm going to come to New York and we're going to party. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, ooh, when you meet the gays I'm friends with here, it's very different than who we were hanging out with in Florida. Like, all my friends here are just creative weirdos. Like, we're all just filmmakers, writers, and comedians, and it's not the same aesthetic, and it's not the same vibe. It's exactly. a good one. Like, that's my community here. But yeah, Florida is like a different, it's a different beast, but like not in a bad way. That's just like the way it is.
And actually, I loved how many like nurses there are in the group, like yeah. or whatever. It's like, yeah, all my friends are artists and musicians and creatives. But it was like actually really cute to see this like group of queer people who have like normal jobs and work really hard, like helping people and like, and they're in real estate. I don't know anyone in real estate. Like
essential
it was
dykes.
Cute. It was cute. Yeah, essential dykes.
All essential.
I was here for it. Yeah.
It's funny because some people too have been like, why are there so many like nurses and real estate people on the show? I'm like, because that's the economy. Like, Florida's full of old people and then people moving down to Florida. So yeah, real estate and nursing are going to be.
It makes total sense. And I, you know, I would like to even see more scrubs on season two. Like, yeah, I want to see them come home in their scrubs. It's cute. I'm here for it.
Yes. Love it. So, you know, our listeners know because we've talked about it before. We recently saw you perform at City Winery and you were doing a little bit of a tour of various city wineries. How was that? How are you doing? Are you happy to be not on tour anymore? What's going on?
Tour was so fun. I played with string players and the venues are so nice. We were like taken care of and it was so strange to be back out on the road. It was like all emotions were heightened, but like in a good way, I think. Having said that though, like I am happy to be home. It was a little like freaky because the first week of the tour was we had to drive through the South. And so it was like, it was pretty intense, the amount of no masks. Like, literally, we were the only masked people. And it's crazy, like, the sneers that you would get, like, at rest stops. So, like, I felt, like, I constantly felt on the road like I was in self-protection mode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I like being in my apartment. I'm happy to be back. But it was really, really fun, for sure. And I loved that you guys were there. I was surprised by that when I met you after. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, Melody had mentioned your music a bunch of times and was like, oh, this is someone I would love to have on the pod. And I checked it out. I'm like, she's really good. I can't believe that I hadn't been like listening already, because your music is definitely like right up my alley. And
yep.
It was so cool to see you live and hear you live, and definitely recommend it for... Keep Lady Lamb on your radar, listeners, for future tours and performances, because yeah,
I got a lot of messages from our listeners actually after I mentioned that we went to your show. They were like, thank you for amplifying Lady Lamb. Some people being like, I'm obsessed with her. Some people being like, I'm confused as to why she's not so famous. Like, you have the Venn diagram of our listenership and your fans, like, might be a circle.
I love so, it. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was so excited to finally see you. A friend of mine had recommended your music back in like 2015 or something, when I was going through a breakup, and it was just what I needed.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Biking that's... around Chicago, crying, scream singing your lyrics.
Yes, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. And I also just like knowing that you guys were there. I just like, oh my God, I spent so many years like not being like out in my career. And I feel like I'm making up for it now. Like anything gay that I can possibly do or talk about, I'm so happy. I'm so excited to do, you know?
Yeah, I was mining your lyrics for a bit at first, like trying to figure out what your sexuality
was. Yeah, they kind of needed to be mined. But actually, someone put it really well to me recently. They said, well, we all knew. I mean, the desire, the yearning.
Yes.
That, no one could be yearning like that for a man. I mean...
Right.
I was like, that's kind of true. I mean, I don't know how many women would sing about the nape of a man's neck.
Right. or just like untangling a knot in lover's hair like that. I was like, oh, she's gay. Because at first I was like, maybe she's queer. Maybe she's, I don't know. Like, this is a lesbian, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, fully.
Can you talk a little bit about that, about your journey and like coming out through your music and how that overlapped and the changes you noticed through that?
Yeah, so I was out in my life since I was 15, and then I started writing songs at 18. And this was in, you know, 2009 or in 10, where it was a lot harder to come out, or it was like it, mm-hmm. not so many artists were doing it. I mean, you know, there are so right. many queer artists who've come out more recently, but you know, a decade ago felt like it wasn't really a good move for them. And I definitely felt anxiety about it. And I'm really open about this now, but I at the time felt like it was going to pigeonhole me in a way that made me feel like it was not going to be the right move for my career. And I was, and being a very reserved type of introvert, I didn't really want to suddenly be asked about it all the time and talk about it all the time when I was starting out. But then over the years, you know, having more experience in relationships and falling in love and wanting to write about it more openly and even use, you know, she, her pronouns in my songs. Like, I really avoided that for a long time. And now I'm just like, you know, I'm older and I'm just like, there's nothing for me to fear. It feels just better to be fully out. And so my songs are maybe even getting queerer by the day.
Yes.
Which they should, you know, why not? Right. Like we need that visibility. I think I'm so supportive of all queer artists, anyone who's out in their music. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a real thing at that time. I remember going to shows of Jenny Owen Young's like back in 2006, I think, was the first show. And then I moved to Atlanta, and anytime she'd roll through, I'd go see her and be like, how is this person not out? And then when she finally came out, I was like, wow, it feels like it shouldn't have been that scary for her to come out, because to anybody who listened, and you'd go to these shows and it was like all dykes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was just like people weren't doing it even then, even with like Obama as president, it was still not the time.
Wasn't out in my, I started comedy around like 2011, 12 even, and was not out at all for at least a few more years. And then I think maybe Trump like really emboldened a lot of people too, to right. like feel like, oh, it's necessary to be out and visible and loud about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about him.
Oh, is Trump not cottage core?
No, absolutely not.
Maybe his sons are.
No. Oh my God. We're here to talk about cottage core. And I did pour a glass of water in a mason jar, as you see here. I went to pour a glass of water in a regular glass and said, no.
Not today. Right.
Let me rest this on a doily and sit down and cozy up to talk about cottage core.
And this was a topic that we pitched to you based on knowing that you are from Maine and kind of retreated back to Maine during the pandemic, correct?
Correct.
And I mean, first off, in Maine, and as we're talking about coming out, I feel like in Maine, like, do you have to come out as straight? Like, is the assumption that it just feels like the gayest state for women, at least, right?
I mean, that's not my experience.
No, okay. That's just...
It's not, I mean, that's actually funny, no. I mean, so many women are wearing L.L. Bean flannel.
Right.
That it is, you know, you do have to, the gaydar, it's a little, you know, it takes a little extra finesse there.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's a lumberjack.
Yeah.
In college, there was a girl from Maine on my floor freshman year, and I felt like she was like a little bit weirded out when she found out that I was gay. And I'm like, really? Because she looks like a Maine dyke. Like, she just reads to me as a dyke. And being from Maine, I was like, how could this be weird for her? It should feel like home. Misconceptions.
Totally. My reaction at first was that's not my experience, just because Maine is like so like not populated, you know, it's like people that I immediately, my mind just went back to being, you know, 19 and living in Portland and being like, where's my community? I knew two gay people there. So I would say it was like harder to find. Although now Portland is very gay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't realize you grew up in Portland. I know so many lesbians moving there.
I lived in Brunswick, which was 25 minutes north. But gotcha. Yeah, Portland was like the nearest city, but now it's super queer. But at the time I was just like, trying to find my people, you know, through the mountains of plaid.
Yeah.
Right.
and missing my mark many times.
Oh, God, that'd be so confusing. Especially, yeah, if you're saying you came out at 15 in high school, like, you know, everyone knows how to build a fire, I assume. These are my assumptions about Maine. And I'm like, how can you tell?
You gotta flirt. You gotta flirt a lot.
Right.
You gotta put in the work.
So cottagecore, how would we all describe it? It's like an aesthetic. I was reading up a little bit about it, that it was made popular actually only in December of 2019 through TikTok, I guess. I missed this because I'm very much not on TikTok, but some user under the handle Sora Blue is credited with making cottagecore kind of take off and all of their like cottagecore posts. And then I felt like it hit a fever pitch when Taylor Swift came out with Folklore, and then everybody was like, yes, like this aesthetic. And then also COVID. So it was like those three things happening around the same time.
I started seeing the hashtag really pop off when lockdown hit and people were retreating, living more simplistically. But I read a stat that when Folklore came out, the hashtag cottagecore went up by like 573% or something. Wow. Which was that next summer, right, of 2020? Is that when that came out?
I think so.
I realized I never looked into what cottagecore actually meant. I had a vague idea that it was an aesthetic, but only started to Google in a panicked way leading up to this recording. So yeah, what it's a vibe. It's an aesthetic. It's like a sustainable way of life. It's back to basics. That's what I understand it as.
It's idealistic. But then it also, like, the Advocate had an article about, like, why is cottagecore so queer? Like, why does it? Because it seems like, and especially like the Taylor Swift of it all, like, that it's a thing for all women, whether you're queer or straight or whatever, to idealize, you know, making like a floral crown from right. the flowers you picked in your yard of your new cabin that's full of like trinkets and.
I mean, idealize is the perfect way of putting it, because when I think about my cottagecore life, it was me lugging, you know, my bags of trash and recycling into my SUV to take it 15 minutes down the road to the dump.
See, there's no TikToks about that.
Because there isn't like trash in the rural town where my house is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And we didn't mention we pitched cottagecore to you because you retreated into the woods for
some time.
Yeah.
Woods to the point of like walking around my house naked after a shower and like not having curtains. Like full on woods.
So I do that too, but I have neighbors. I'm like they're far Brooklyn enough that I don't think they can see.
Yeah, I mean speak your truth, you know.
I'm the naked neighbor in the city for sure.
every once in a while a FedEx guy comes to the window and we're like, oh wait, yeah, we really can't just like walk around naked in the house. But yeah, when did you get your house? When did you move into it?
Well, the small amount of context is that I lived out of my suitcase for all of 2019 when my last record came out. I gave up my apartment in Ridgewood, Queens. Oh. And so I was saving all this crazy money, right? Like we all know living here.
You're right.
And my sister got pregnant with the first baby in our family. And that was what made me want to start looking.
Congrats.
Thank you. So I started looking in 2019 and nothing was really, you know, speaking to me because I really wanted something special and also something I could afford. And Maine is just like wildly expensive. After a year, I found the perfect little house and I ended up closing on it on March 11th, 2020. So,
get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
jeez.
Yeah, so I had the keys in my pocket on March 13th when my band and I were driving to Atlanta to start the City Winery tour that I just did. No. When we had to turn around, we got 3 hours toward Atlanta and then we turned around and because the tour canceled on our way there. And so I dropped off my players and we had a minivan. So I took the minivan, like emptied it of gear, went to my storage unit in Ridgewood, grabbed like a few things that I felt I could like sustain myself with at the house. I had like a love seat, a cot, like some blankets and a lamp, you know, and a rug and a vacuum. And I like went right to Maine. On the 13th and that was it. I was just there. I was there alone for 4 months.
Holy shit.
In this like empty house that I was starting to, you know, build out basically, and actually had to come back to the city a few weeks later with a U-Haul and get the rest of my things. But yeah, I was roughing it there for a minute.
Yeah.
Wow.
But like so excitedly, like so happy to be there. And then I spent the entire year, I was there for 11 months straight and I spent the year doing all the Butch projects and buying all the Carhartt overalls. It's crazy how actually Carhartt is really useful, like work clothing. Like I didn't really realize that actually you can stack, happily stack wood in it.
right.
Not just walk through Bushwick.
Right. I saw a tweet recently that was like, everyone want to wear Carhartt until it's time to do Carhartt shit. Like,
oh, I saw that. Yeah, totally. I felt so cool and gay, just like getting my gear, you know, like my boots and my like overalls and my like I had like, you know, I had to buy all this cool shit. Like I had a saw, you know,
right.
Like,
I, like all damn. The tools that I bought last year. It's insane. Like how much like I was going to Home Depot. Yes, I know it's problematic. I was going to Home Depot like every other day. Buying stuff. I'm like, I can't believe how much money I'm spending here, but it's than Lowe's.
I was there every day. Same. Closer than Lowe's. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Although I will say, you know, my version of cottagecore really was just like when you really get down to it, it was crying on the couch watching Carol in an L.L. Bean flannel robe.
Ooh, robes.
You know, like that's my cottage core.
Mm-hmm. But did you have like a, at least like a fire going in the fireplace or?
Always.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. That was like the one thing. Cause at first I was like, this is too much. And like, we were insane. Like what made us think that buying a like fixer upper upstate on a lake in the middle of winter was a good idea. But then once we got our fireplace operational and then I'd make a fire, I'm like, okay, it's all worth it. Like, at least I have this, I have the fireplace and my record player, and it's going to be okay.
And of course, my mind goes right to like, was it insulated? Like, was it a four season? Is it a four season house? You know, like where you should be there in the winter, or is it really a summer house?
That's a good Butch question.
I know.
It's a summer house. Yeah, it was a summer house. So it didn't have like, it had some insulation, but very minimal. So it was like very drafty.
Wow.
Like, you know, it has a heating system, but it's not, you know, it's like on a hill and the heat's run off oil, but like the oil truck can't get up there when the weather is bad.
You're speaking my language. I have the exact problem. Yeah, the oil truck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, well, just buy another oil tank. I'm like, I'm not buying a second oil. Like, that's one. It's like a lot of money. And then I have like two giant oil tanks. I don't know. It's so many things like I've never had to think about, especially living in New York for, you know, the 7 or 8 years leading up to it, that I'm like the within a week of living there, I had to learn how to like bleed my boiler because I ran out of oil because I didn't think of that week one moving in. And
this is such a niche topic. And just shout out to our queer people listening who get what we're talking about.
I know, because you are speaking a different language right now. I don't know what you're saying.
Apologies for alienating everyone else.
Let's talk about things that everyone knows about. Like, are you now proficient with an axe? Are you chopping your own wood? Are you splitting it?
I'll be honest, I'm not splitting my own wood. Okay. I am definitely having it delivered in a big truck that dumps it in a big pile in my backyard, but I am stacking it, which takes a week easily. Like a week, like 3 hours a day for 7 days, okay, of stacking this freaking wood. And I am doing that, and I am feeling really kind of like hot while I'm doing it. Like I'm like, God, where? I'm like, someone should be filming this.
I know. I don't really, I got a taste of the lifestyle here and there, over lockdown or 2020 at large. I would, dog sit for a friend, upstate here and there and drive up to her house. That's like on a hill and a lake, very secluded. And I wouldn't have to stack. I would just felt cool, like taking logs off of the stack. That was enough for me, and building a fire on my own. I never had until 2020, and was just would look around like, is anyone getting this?
Yeah, this no, I seriously. No, it's true. I feel that same way.
Like, to not use a starter log is enough for me to feel like cottage core.
Amen to that. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so real.
I guess I'm lucky that I have my wife who likes to creep on me a lot with her phone. So whenever I'm like out splitting logs in the yard, she'll be like, I got a good one of you. I'm like, oh, thanks. Because when she does capture, like when I split it on the first hit, I'm like, yeah, this is the hottest thing I've ever done.
Oh, that is so cool that you're splitting your wood. That is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool until people are like, why are you using an axe and not a maul? And I'm like, the maul's too heavy and my arms are weak. And then I tried borrowing my neighbor's maul, and it was a night I was like, I'm gonna kill myself with this. So I'm just going back to
my
axe.
I'm talking a big game here, but I don't know that I could actually lift an axe even. So
yeah, it's a workout, you know. Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
I also count like everything I do now as like working out. Like I haven't properly worked out other than like maybe a rigorous hike, probably since before the pandemic. But I'm like, well, I had to, you know, carry that leaf blower for 20 minutes and that's the workout.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, people idealize this cottage court thing so hard, but then what it really is just so much work. Like I'm out there raking,
so much work.
Just yeah. Like raking all day, like resenting this decision that I ever did this. Like, it, you know, if you have any amount of land or yard, yes. It's just like a regrettable investment.
like cleaning out the gutters. I know. And coming from New York, too. I mean, I was telling Melody, I'm like, it makes my rent in Sunnyside seem like a bargain because I didn't have to pay for anything besides the rent, like the heat.
Yeah. You're probably 2 weeks deep and you're like rent forever.
Yeah. Never. Yeah. I'm like, do not buy a home. So much can go wrong.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the bugs. Was that?
I think people had a different idea of what this is the realities of Cottagecore yeah. episode.
we're doing the ice bucket challenge to Cottagecore and just.
Yeah. The bugs, the spiders.
So many spiders.
They're abundant. I don't mind them though. I don't know what happened. I think maybe it, once I went back to Maine last year, I started talking to them like I talked to my cats. Like I think I took the power out of them in a way. But
yes.
I'm like, hey bud, like, aw, you're being cute. You want to go outside? Come here, you know. And I like help them or yeah. try to. And yeah, I'm not afraid of them anymore.
That's Cottagecore. That is that. Integrating yeah. with nature. It's very Belle or which Disney princess?
All of them. Cinderella. Yeah, I'm very much too now. Like, yeah, you're supposed to be here, spider. I'm not. So like do your thing. I'll leave you in this corner. I'll let you have your web for a little bit. Like we had this one like crazy, I think it's called like a wolf spider or something on our deck. And it made this like gnarly, huge web that was like really getting in the way and horrifying looking, but we're like, wow, it put in the work. It gets to keep that. We're gonna just avoid that area of the deck.
Yeah,
for
real.
Done.
I think moving into this house also just like it immediately, you know, changed my perspective. It just like opened up my world to nature where I'm like, my mind immediately is like, sees the spider and it's like, well, you're part of the process of life that you're allowed to stay in here and eat the little bug or whatever. Like,
right, right.
Do your thing.
We had such a funny moment the other day where my wife, we had just gone back from traveling or something. And we had the first night back in our home. And then she woke up in the morning and she's sitting in the bed and she looks at me and she's like, I'm so happy that we have this house. And then she screams because a spider cricket had jumped onto her arm while she was in bed. And spider crickets are big and like a little intense, and our house is full of them. But the comedic timing of that spider cricket, I mean, I'll never be that funny.
Oh my God. That just, my mind just went to, this is very specific, but the scene in Jumanji where... a young Bonnie Hunt has the bats all swirling around her, and then one lands on her shoulder and she's like, oh, and looks down at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely put that a screenshot of that photo on dating apps before. just, you know, to give people just like a real, you know idea of me.
That's great.
Well, as you know, we're three creatively inclined people here, and I think a big part of like cottage core, or this like idea of like retreating to the woods, I think sometimes as like a creative person, it always feels like at some point it'd be like, oh, if I could just retreat to the woods, I would finish all these projects. I'd get so much more writing done if I was just looking out a window at a lake. And let me tell you, that's not the case for me, but
that was the case for me before I got the house. Like I would literally rent a cabin to go ride in and find it productive. I think because of the mindset, I'm paying for my rent in Brooklyn and I'm paying for this cottage for a week. So I better really make use of my time. But then as soon as you have like an open-ended place to do it, I'm literally just watching like movies in my, you know, in my PJs all day. And like, yeah, sure, I'm looking out at the woods and being like, that's pleasant. But I'm not. It's hard. It is hard to be creative, I think, actually, when in practice.
Yeah, if you make it your full-time thing. Because now I have the opposite, where I'm coming into the city for a few days a week. And then when I'm in the city, I'm like, well, if I'm going to be here and like paying the cost to be in the city these 3 days, I better do everything while I'm here and be like super productive. And then I go back home and then I'm just like pushing those leaves from one part of the yard to the next.
That is the reality.
Yeah, if it's a vacation, if it's an Airbnb, right, if you're paying for it, it's something else. Okay, this makes me feel better because I have been looking at Airbnbs to go finish a script at. And I'm like, oh no. But okay, it's not like I'm not going to be thinking about all my chores because it's not my property.
I think it's a good move. I think in that case, it can be a really good creative outlet to go off for a trip. Yeah.
Perfect. Did you ever have visitors? I know it was COVID, but like anyone coming in or like isolating for a while, then coming in, just because I think cottagecore is tied to queerness, especially lesbians, because there's so much stigma, obviously, in regular society. The appeal is to go into nature where you can be your like true, authentic queer self. But you were alone. So you weren't like, and there was no one really there to see you. But like, did you feel more authentically queer when you were out there? I mean, obviously you did with the projects, but did it feel like a relief?
Yeah, I mean, it really for me was less tied to queerness at first and more tied to like I had just come off of a year or more of touring and I was so tired and wanted to be the solitude was so exactly what I needed. And I didn't have anyone really coming in for a long time, like for those months, March, April, May, June. I mean, I guess I saw like my mom and my sister a little bit, but we would usually like be outside, you know, because it was like peak COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Then my ex ended up joining me after 4 months and we were there together till the
end.
So yeah, that was gay, right? Like
that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Like we were out there for like 8 months together and
wow.
Yeah. But, and like, yeah, it was super gay. Like, but like all the same stuff, all the boring chore stuff. I mean, I could just go back into that, you know, like leaf blowing, like, but like, it was funny because like, you know, we would have fun with it. Like on a warm, like fall day, like she would go out in like her underwear and leaf blow and we would laugh about it. Like, yes. This is fun. You know what I mean? So yeah, we like kind of gated up in that way. And then actually by August, I had had this idea. I had this idea in early summer to host shows outside on my property. So when you ask if I had visitors, I actually had a lot, which if I don't give you the context, it's like, what? How dare you? But I did 11 shows on my property where I gave fans the directions to my house day of. And
okay, I think I saw that and wanted
it
to.
It was called Live. Yeah, it was called Live.
I know, like,
from
if
the
you
Hive.
Ever do this again, please let us know, because that sounds amazing. Okay. I would drive to Maine for that.
It was it was so fun. It was so unique and special. It was exactly what we all needed at the time, because there was nothing. There was no human connection, you know, between strangers. Yeah, like I my house is two doors down from the post office, and I like in rural fashion and buds with the postmaster guy, Bruce, and Bruce like gave us permission to have the parking lot at night. So it was so great. Like we had a place to put all the cars, and then people would like trek like 30 seconds or whatever up, you know, up the side of the road to my property with their like lawn chairs and blankets and coolers. And I would have 50 people per show, so that there was enough space for people to like separate, you know, in their little pod outside. And I had a PA, I had a little PA, so that everyone can hear me. And I played like an hour. I even had a merch table, like set up on the porch so I could like, you know, talk to everyone. And I had very strict rules. Like you had to like, in order to come, you absolutely had to read this, like, you know, 2-page thing that I wrote about like safety and masking and all of that, you know. It was one of the most unique things I've ever done. It was just like the gratitude that we had for each other in the moment was just beyond. And so many queer people. Oh my God. Like all the queer people, like all the queer people in the state of Maine. And people who traveled too from like, you know, Massachusetts or Vermont or whatever, and made a little trip with their partner out of it or their friend out of it. So I felt like I was in some very small way kind of facilitating this thing we really needed, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone felt, so safe and safe to be queer.
Absolutely.
Out in the woods.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that.
And actually at the same time that was happening, this is just another little, you know, like gay tidbit. I was fostering a cat who had a litter of 6 kittens. So while this was happening, I had 6 kittens running around.
Come on.
Oh my gosh.
In the house. But then one of the best times of the summer was memories, I guess, of the summer is my younger brother, who's also gay, and like my life's obsession. He's the best. Dominic. He came with his boyfriend, and they were the only people like allowed in my house, you know, for the show. And so I had this, after the show, my ex would like, this was so cute. She would build a fire during my last 2 songs. And then the fire would be raging by the time the show was over, so that people could kind of gather around the fire pit and like talk. And it was the cutest thing too, because people would meet each other and make friends.
Ugh. Yes.
And then if you looked up into the window of the guest room right by the fire pit, my brother was like holding up each kitten and doing a little like fashion show with them so that everyone could like meet them. That was a very happy gay moment there. My gay brother, my foster kittens, bonfire, you know.
Everything.
It sounds magical. And I feel like that's also this component of cottagecore, like a little bit of this, like these magic moments in nature away from everything where just like special things can happen.
It's very ideal.
Yeah.
Special things can happen kind of easily because of the setting. You're already right there, you know? Yeah. It's special. But then I needed to leave. I was like, get me back to the city. I cannot do this any longer.
Yeah. I love, you said a little something about it when you performed too.
Yes.
And I was so curious. Yeah. I'm so curious about people who have left the cities and retreated. Like, how are they feeling now?
How are they feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sure Carolyn. they have their good days and bad days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like it's a little bit much, but my wife and I are finding that it's a good balance to have like 2 or 3 days in the city and then spend the rest of the week at home. But we're also just like very behind on anything that needs to be done with the home because you're not in any one place for enough time to complete a project. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. Maybe once it gets a lot colder and it starts snowing, we'll probably stay up there a little bit more and just like hang out by the fireplace.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going back in a couple weeks. But I find that each time I go back, I can hardly enjoy myself because all I'm doing is projects. Like yeah. I see my family, but I'm like, I like have a list of 10 things to do. Like,
right.
Like winterize the windows or whatever, like boring stuff.
Right, right.
It's definitely a privilege to be able to go between the two, like we do.
Sure, sure.
But like, it's not lost to me. I'm so grateful to have it. But I was getting burnt out. I was in the city for 10 years before the house, and I was getting just a little jaded. Like I was just starting to feel like I, you know, that thing that we get here where we're like, if only I had some woods. Prospect Park doesn't cut it. You know, I really need my own space. And so for me, it feels really good to be here again, but then to know that I have this space I can go to.
Right.
Right.
It reinvigorated my love for the city, really. That's what it did for me. And now when I go to the house, I walk in and I'm like, oh, I cannot believe this little plot of land is mine. This is so beautiful. I'm now just fully appreciative of both wherever I am.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, you know, to be there.
Do you find that you have different senses of decor and aesthetics, like in your apartment versus your house?
I love this question because actually very few people know this about me, but interior design is my passion.
Ooh,
like, I love it.
Like equal to music. Like I get the same amount of joy from interior design that I do from songwriting and performing. And so I was kind of in heaven last year designing the house. And so I was very, you know, intentional with my design of the house. It's like the views are wooded. It's a really interesting layout because it's built into a hill. You walk into the first floor and you're on the level of the bedrooms, and then you walk down a staircase into the living space, which is like the living room and kitchen. And it has a wall of windows like facing, it's technically a walkout basement.
Okay.
But has a wall of window sliding glass doors that face the woods. So I wanted to be really specific about the design being like very like warm neutrals to kind of like highlight, you know, the views. And so it's very like mid-century Danish design. But then, so like lots of like rust and cream and like yellow. Like dark yellow. But then in my apartment, I wanted it to be more playful. So it's like brighter colors in my apartment. Like, yeah, I don't know. Is this boring? Yeah, it's boring.
I love it.
Whatever.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I was intentional. I wanted both my apartment, because my apartment is like a little more industrial. It's like a lofted studio with like a steel staircase in it. So I wanted it to be a little bit more like, I think the vibe of a city is more playful, if that makes sense. Like, be more playful with design, and then at the house be a little bit more like, you know, elegant and like restrained and like focus on the views. That's cottagecore too, right there.
Well, I was also reading like cottagecore, like that so much of design now is like being a little bit more minimalist. And then cottagecore is where you're really, it's like the trinkets, like all those little touches, maybe having like a little bit too much furniture in one room, feeling like an Airbnb that you go to and you're like, whoa, that's a lot on the walls. Like,
I definitely have at the house some well-placed trinkets that are like main themed. Like I found this amazing, like, you know, wood carved, like, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's like a sculpture made of wood of like this like fisherman on a canoe. And it's like on my fireplace mantle, you know?
Yeah.
You have some little touches like that for sure. I have like a, what's it called? Those, I don't know what they're even used for, but I think it's called a decoy. It's like they're like ducks, you know, like ducks.
Oh, and, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And loons. I don't know what they're used for.
Yeah.
But, someone listening knows. But yeah, it's, I have like a loon, something about fishing. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like when we were designing our place, like we did have this one thought of like, should it be like, fit with the environment we're in and be decorated like a lake house. And then we just did not do that. And our and our kitchen, we had friends visit and they're like, wow, from the outside, would have never expected this on the inside.
What is it like? What is the aesthetic on the inside?
So we just like for different rooms, we picked different kind of themes or designs. So our bathroom, we call it like a mermaid bathroom. It's just like this like teal tile, but like this like ornate gold mirror and like a chandelier.
You put the chandelier in?
And yeah.
Oh,
like a small one, you know, and it's like a very we have one bathroom and it's very, very tiny. So we're like, let's make like a fancy tiny bathroom. And then with the kitchen, you know, I like to cook and I like my kitchen to feel like a little bit more lively. So we call it like the Fiesta Kitchen. It has like bright yellow walls. It has blue and green backsplash tiles. Like it's very like, woo. But I love it. But it just does not fit like being, you know, in the country.
I love that you didn't lean into the sort of lake house aesthetic, and it makes for a good surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you walk in. I love that.
I want a house. I've been ping-ponging this whole episode. I want a house. I don't want a house.
Right.
I want a house.
That's the thing, is that like we're not selling anyone, and then we are, and then we're not.
Right. And then it does feel like such a privilege to have both, but then you're also like paying the cost for it. Like it's a lot to maintain like two different places to live, and mm-hmm. takes like a lot of time and effort, even if you're renting years out. And that's like another thing we talk about. We're like, well, do we rent the house out? It's like, well, we moved everything into the house, so it's not like renter friendly. Like we'd have to hide everything or like put a lot of our stuff away, or move all of our stuff back into the city, keep the house sparse so that we can rent it out, you know, all those considerations. But how do you find putting your place up on Airbnb?
For me personally, it was like the best thing I have like could have ever done. Like I at first I was a little precious, like, oh, this is my stuff. And it, like, because I love design so much, I really put my heart into what I chose and I really love my things. And some of them are like not cheap, you know, they're like nice quality.
Right.
Or vintage. Or like a couch that I'm literally still paying off monthly, you know, like that kind of
yeah.
thing. So, I was a little nervous at first, but then I realized like, you know, the good thing about the format of Airbnb is that guests have an incentive to do a good job with your home because you're going to review them and they want to take other trips.
Right.
And I know that when I've stayed in, you know, Airbnbs on tour, like I am very conscientious of like following the rules and the checkout instructions and everything, because I want to be liked and do a good
right.
job. So I just give people the benefit of the doubt that they feel this, that they're the same way. And I've had a great experience. My house has been up since last February, and it's the only way that I can live in the city alone,
right,
is having my house up for rent.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people who got a place and now they're back in the city and they're renting it out, and the rent that they're getting from their house pays for them to have an even nicer apartment in the city than they had before.
That's where I'm at. I've never lived alone, and I've never lived in such a like nice apartment. And
yeah.
it is truly just through being able to rent my house. But of course, you know, it's not easy, just because being a homeowner, you know, things do go wrong. Like I've had a couple things go wrong, like, you know, a power outage that like fried some electrical thing in my gas cook stove, my cooktop
yeah.
or whatever, that had to be replaced. So like, if, you know, a guest couldn't cook for 5 days or dumb stuff like that, where you have to like kind of maneuver things breaking and not being there to fix it. Like, you know, my well,
right.
My house has a well, but it's on the neighbor's property and the well pump broke
yep.
and I lost water to, my guests lost water. I had to put them up at the inn, like across the street, so they could shower.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then had the well fixed in the nick of time as my new guests are driving up the driveway, and I'm on the phone with them like, just so you know, like if you could like run the faucet for 10 minutes because the sediment needs to settle, you know, like it's a little stressful, and but I also love hospitality. Like, I love being a host. Like,
I'm
actually all about that, like, host alley. Like, let me know if you need anything, like, or checking in the next day. I just wanted to make sure you guys are all set and you have everything you need.
I'm gonna rent your house.
Do you have fans that like stay in your place and are just like geeking out the whole time? Or
I haven't had fans yet. But I did. They would have to like search. I mean, I guess the fans who came to my house know where I live. But I did have this really cute couple come, and my mom was such a dork. My mom flips the house for me, and she's super good at it. This is so great and gay. I was on the cover of Maine Women magazine.
Yes.
My mom got a copy from the grocery store and left it out on the kitchen island. And then this couple checked in, and they were like, "Oh my god. We had no idea this was your house. We saw you at Newport Folk Festival. We're huge fans."
Yes.
And then I like called my mom, like, "Mom, what did you do? You left my magazine out." But yeah, that was a cute moment. I'm definitely not adverse to fans staying at my house, but I haven't hit rock bottom yet with like needing to fill it. You know, if that happens, I'll like be like, I'll put it in my stories.
Maybe. Right.
No, so far so good. I mean, you know, people love Maine. I've had no trouble renting it.
Right. I mean, before we got our house, I was looking at Airbnbs in Maine for us to I was looking at like monthly rentals. I'm like, can we find something in Maine? And it was slim pickings.
Yeah.
Everyone had the same idea.
Yeah. Exactly. They like, I didn't close my calendar at first. Like I forgot. I didn't think to close my calendar on Airbnb for last summer. So last December, when I put the house up, I was getting people trying to book it for July. And I was like, oh, whoops, sorry. No. Like I had to like, you know, lock it down. People are like, yeah, they're frantic about booking their house, which works for me. You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like I want like a queerbnb.com where only queer people can stay at my house. Oh. I think that's probably, I'm like, I don't want straight people there.
I mean, I agree.
Right.
But what can you do? Like
is
most
that gatekeeping?
Most people that are booking my house are definitely straight. I try not to think about what they're doing on my Casper mattress.
Yeah. I'd like to think of like what are the screening questions for a queer Airbnb? Like Name three Tegan and Sarah songs.
Oh my god.
Without Googling.
Send proof of Carhartt.
Right.
Oh man,
an essay on composting. I don't know.
Yes.
Do you compost?
I was absolutely. Just gonna ask. That is very cottagecore.
Absolutely. Yes. I have like a nice like compost bin in my little freezer, and I have instructions, and I have it written to encourage it. You know, mm-hmm. because not everyone wants to do it. But I find that actually, I would say like 95% of my guests do compost.
Nice.
Well, I have this whole thing written out too that I like with little drawings that I made. That's like, the hive is like, it's called Alive at the Hive. And because I tried this experiment last summer where I have a garden bed and I planted all my vegetables for Airbnb guests. And so I had this, I wanted to see if I could get my guests to see themselves as a community that are all sharing my house. So I had this thing, I wrote out this thing that was like, please like water the garden if you find that it's dried out after a few days. You may not be able to reap the benefits of the harvest, but like someone will. So like, isn't that great? You know, like let's do this for each other. And
that.
So that went okay. I definitely had some careless people. So like I wanted it to feel like a communal thing, which is like pretty queer, right? Like and I wanted, and I wrote out this thing, urging people or encouraging people to compost, but I described why. I was like, the compost ends up in my compost bin, which gets, you know, spun, and then that becomes my soil for the garden. So like it's sustainable and its own little mini ecosystem. And I also, maybe I'm asking too much, but I ask my guests to like refill the bird feeders if they get low. You know,
yes.
There are living creatures on this property that like depend, like I wrote this, I'm like the hummingbirds, they come back because they know about their food here. So please make sure the sugar water's in the fridge. Please refill their feeders.
Oh, that's so perfect, because as I scroll Cottagecore content, it looks like most of Cottagecore happens in the kitchen or the yard or the garden. And this seems like that's the most Cottagecore thing you've said.
I think you're right.
Your compost, a garden, pipeline.
Yep. Yeah. I saved that gem for near the end.
Perfect.
Part of it too, like idealizing it. I remember when we were talking about moving, our queer neighbors in Sunnyside are like, you're going to feel really isolated from everybody and then from the community being up there, and aren't you like at all concerned? And then when I told one of my friends who is like a gay comedian that I moved there, he's like, why would you move there? That's where I grew up. Like it's horrible. I'm like, well, maybe being like a gay teenager, it felt like a little small, but it's only like an hour from the city too, so I don't think it's that crazy. And I don't know, I found something nice about knowing all my neighbors and having all these like older neighbors that are kind of like looking out for us and messaging us when the weather's going to be bad and saying that we can, you know, park the car near their fence so that a tree doesn't fall on our car, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, that stuff.
Even though you probably voted for Trump.
That's the thing. Yeah.
That stuff is sweet. I on election day, I was sitting watching the final results in my living room and seeing footage of New York, like, right, like everyone in New York out on the streets celebrating. And I felt I've never felt FOMO like that in my life.
Oh, tell me about it.
Like, so many people did. Yeah.
I was on a flight to Georgia. Yeah,
were you?
When that
oh my
broke.
Gosh.
I was so pissed.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, literally my favorite day of the year is the New York Marathon. Like any excuse for me to be out with New Yorkers, loving them is my thing. Again, like I said at the beginning, I'm very earnest. just a reminder. And so I was like so stressed in that moment. Like I looked at my ex, I was like, what can we do? We need to go outside. We need to be with people. So we got in the car and we drove 10 minutes to the town, which is a super liberal town. And there was one teenage boy out with a Biden like flag. And he was standing on the bridge, which has a sidewalk, in the cool little town, waving the flag, and cars were honking, and he was 16 years old, so adorable. Aww. Vlad was his name, and he had extra. He's like, hi, you want to join me? I have extra flags. And we were like, yeah. And so we stood there on the bridge and like waved these flags and just got honks like on them. We just like were jumping for joy up and down, and then more people joined. And I guess my point is that I like made friends that day with my neighbors who I'd never met, like this really cool couple who are professors. And then they like, you know, came and delivered us like fruitcake, actually really fucking good fruitcake that they made like for Christmas, you know, like so little moments like that I live for, like living in the rural town. It did feel isolating. But then, you know, there were these little moments of finding community that really stuck with me. And actually that was one of my favorite memories from last year, was like being out in the town celebrating like that with my neighbors.
Yeah. You can leave New York where you're surrounded by so much community, but get out there, get like that little taste of it and appreciate it so much more.
Yeah. And find your people there. Like, yeah,
I love it.
It's possible and real, and it's extra sweet.
Yeah. I love it. I was just thinking like, one of my favorite moments of this summer was just like driving home and passing my neighbor who is walking like her three rescue dogs and being like, hey, Margo, we're going to do a fire. You want to come over for some s'mores? And she's like, s'mores? Absolutely. And it's just like my neighbor Margo just chilling.
That is cute.
Making s'mores with the neighbor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, that's nice that you can have those moments. Because in New York, I'm just like, oh no, I just spotted somebody I know on the train. Look busy. You know?
Yeah, I can't go to my elevator in my building because I think I heard my neighbor talking on the phone. Like, it's like...
Yeah, this is accurate. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have run into people in New York on the train that were like legitimately my childhood friend, right? That I like in Arizona or wherever I live, because my dad was military. So before I moved to Maine, I was elsewhere. And I have run the other way. Like that is how, what, I don't know. That's the New York mentality. Yeah. No small talk.
Right, right. Speaking of Arizona, you have a song that came out, or did the video come out recently?
Oh, last year. Yeah, I have a song called Arizona. Yeah, yeah. I lived there when I was a little kid.
What's on the horizon with you and your music? Tell us.
I am writing a record right now. And it's so funny because I'm battling. I write lyrics first, and I'm really in a battle with myself on the themes, because at first I thought I was writing a breakup record, but then I got a crush. Ooh. So you tell me, what do you do with that?
Right.
What do you do with that? You can't have both. Like, I can't write a record that's confusing and weird and like maybe a little manic. Like, so I'm
but
actually
I kind of want that.
I'm
eventually.
Like, but it's weird because having a crush, it like pulls you so far out of the realm of the heartbreak that like
right.
I don't feel inspired by it anymore. So
right,
it might be a love record. Or an
you do a breakup
love
EP love record.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea. A twofer.
Mm-hmm. We just want more.
I'm in New York. You'd think I'd be in Maine writing it, but I'm actually in my apartment writing it. And I have no touring on the horizon until April, but that'll be all West Coast.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So West Coast listeners, keep an eye on that. Also, because your music is so good, I imagine you have great taste in music as well. Do you have any recommendations? I love a good recommendation from a musician.
Yeah.
Is it weird if I tell you I've just been listening to Bonnie Raitt every day?
No,
not at all.
But no, so
not at all.
Bonnie is my queen. But I'm also really into Aldous Harding. You guys familiar? So I love Aldous Harding.
Yes.
Her record is, it's from, I think, last year, but blows my mind. And then I love Kate LeBon, and she has a new record coming out. And I have been listening to Mazzy Star.
Nice.
But like what's new? I like Andy Schauf a lot.
Andy Schauf. No, I'm going to put all these into my Spotify, cause I'm driving so much more now, between the city and upstate. So I'm always on the lookout for good, music recs, though. I find myself just listening to Crane Your Neck on repeat lately.
Truly, she gave me a ride home the other
for like
night
an
and
hour,
it popped
and it
on right away.
Oh, you're in your feelings.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about how your music lends itself so well to the cottagecore vibe.
Yes, what a soundtrack for cottagecore life.
Yeah, truly. It's either your music or just like a big cinematic score swell. That's all I think of, like either folk or something like that.
I'm here for it. I love it.
And where can people follow you on social media and learn about like your upcoming dates for April?
I would say I'm most active on Instagram, and my handle is Lady Lamb Jams.
Love it. Great. Follow, check it out.
Thank you so much for diking out with us.
Oh my God, I loved diking out with you. It was such a pleasure. I think we should do it again anytime, even unrecorded. Let's just hang.
Let's hang.
Yes, please.
I know where you live.
You live very close.
Amazing. Yes.
Thank you both.
And you know, after that interview, we couldn't get enough of Lady Lamb. So what did we do? We invited her to hang out at Stonewall at those go-go dance, tea dance parties. And if you want to hear out how that went, well, you got to be a patron. We talk about it on our off topic. We have a different episode almost every single week, a whole extra episode talking about different things for as little as $5 a month. You can be a patron, support the pod, and hear about the behind the scenes of our interviews and our hangs with past guests.
And you know what you can also get as a patron? Priority answers to your listener questions.
There you go.
And I think we have a patron submission right here.
Yep.
All right. So the Between Relationships show really hit home, not for being in between relationships, but for telling someone how I felt after realizing that she became single. After listening to the episode, I felt like such a predator. I didn't ask her out because I figured she was going through a lot and probably needed some space and time, but I did admit my feelings for her. I buried my feelings for the 2 years she was in a relationship, but then they came flooding back when I saw that she was single. Her response was no response, which makes me feel worse. Was I wrong? Am I a predator? First things first, lesbian does not equate predator. I don't know. Yes. I feel like we've been getting a lot of questions lately about
people feeling like predators.
Yeah, people feeling predatory just for having the urge or the interest, you know? I don't think it's predatory.
Nothing
to
about
let
this
someone
is
know how you feel.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just lesbian. I mean, sapphic, you know what I mean.
Right.
And that's okay.
I think it's okay that you let this person know, because the reality is that, you know, a lot of people don't have much time between relationships sometimes, especially if it's somebody with a pattern of this, and you didn't try to force them into another relationship or pressure them or anything. You just let them know as like, FYI, you know, you didn't do it when they were in a relationship, which is good. That's appropriate to wait for that to come to a conclusion. And I think it's okay to say, hey, you know, now that you're single, I'm not expecting anything. I know you probably have a lot of stuff to figure out, but I do need you to know that I have strong feelings for you. And that's fine to leave it at that. I don't think there's anything wrong. I think that was brave of you. A lot of people wouldn't do that. I think that the queer lesbian tendency is to sit on that and bury it inside and obsess over it forever until they find somebody else and then hate yourself for not doing anything about it.
Right. The time in between relationships in this community is small. You might as well make your feelings or thoughts known while you can. Because it would be worse to do it when they were, already in that next relationship.
Right. And the fact that she didn't respond, don't sweat it. Because obviously you knew the timing was weird. So they might not know how they feel about it. They might not want to say anything either way until they've had like a little space and time to themselves to process it and everything. So don't feel bad about what you did.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty straightforward, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were not wrong to answer the questions point blank. Yeah. You were not wrong. You are not a predator.
Not a predator.
Definitely not. I mean,
though, I kind of want to see like a lesbian predator.
I was just going to say you have. I mean, you've literally seen a predatory lesbian approach me and assault me sexually.
I mean, they are out there.
Yes. But
I didn't mean like in real life. I was thinking just like a movie of like a fun movie for us, not something that's like, you know, making the lesbian the predator as a trope or whatever. But like, can we have like something fun
for once?
Maybe not. Maybe that was a weird instinct. But like when you say predator, I think like Alien versus Predator. And then I'm like, oh, what if like Predator was like a lesbian, like twist, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're not a predator. You're right. I hope it works out for you. Keep us posted.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. If you have a question, we actually I went and I compiled all the questions in order and we have a lot of questions. So we might need to do like a year end question dump episode or something. But keep sending them in. dikingout@gmail.com is the best way for us to see them. If you're a patron, it goes to the top of the list. And yeah, a lot of good questions that came across in the mix, because there were a couple weeks where we just got a lot in. We're just kind of tagging them and
right
filing them away. But now as I was peeping them, I'm like, ooh, we got some good ones here.
I mean, the year's wrapping up. People have more time off to introspect, ponder things, and get them validated by some dykes on a podcast.
Help us help you. Follow us at Dyking Out on all social media, at Dyking Out everywhere, and at Dyking Out Podcast on TikTok. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. And hey, listen to some Lady Lamb jams.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen to Lady Lamb. That is, tis the season for some Lady Lamb.
Get into it, and
we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.